Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 396 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about all the A&M baseball related things. What a week it has been. My. So we're going to start that conversation here. We're actually going to continue that conversation on Patreon at patreon.com/bigboo. It'll just allow us to be a teeny bit more unfiltered, and we have a lot more to say. We would also love for you to stop by our Amazon shop to see some of the things that we love and love to use. That's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. Final thing, tonight, which is Thursday, June 27th, we have a live Q&A on Patreon at 8:30 p.m. Central. We know there's a presidential debate. Maybe we would be a balm during such a time. So we would love to see you there. And here we go with episode 396. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, everybody. It's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Well.
Listen, what a difference a week makes. But here's,
how about it?
Here's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to do what our slime ball snake of a former coach didn't do. And I want to take a minute to just say how proud I am of our Aggie baseball team.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
If we had recorded this on Monday or Tuesday the way we normally do, what I would have said and what I still believe in is this team. I have loved Aggie baseball for 30 plus years. I have been in it. I have been at Olsen Field more times than I've probably been in any other sports facility at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I've loved it. And there are a handful of seasons to me that were completely magical. And this one is now at the top of the list. Like, yeah. What these players did, what they achieved, what they did for Aggies. Like, just seeing, like, even after Caroline and I didn't go back to Omaha last week, but, like, seeing different friends of mine that did go and, like, with their families and road tripped and were there in the singing the spirit of Aggieland in the Hilton lobby, and just the way what this team created for Texas yeah. A&M was magical. Like it, and you know, and you can look and go, you know, we didn't bring home the championship, but they went further than any other team ever has. They did it through Braden Montgomery breaking his ankle. They did it through mm-hmm. Jace playing with a bad hamstring, with Hayden yep. having a torn meniscus, like with Shane Sadeo, our one of our starting pitchers, being out. And like the way that they persevered and the postseason run that they had was just completely magical. And I'm so proud of them. Like yes. I could cry at like what they did for us, because yes. it was just a magical season. And I think that that's part of it. And we'll get into this in a minute. This is part of why I'm so furious
uh-huh.
at the adults, quote, air quote, adults in the room that have ruined this moment for them and taken the spotlight over what they achieved, because what they achieved was unbelievable.
You're exactly right. And you have said since you went to the women's baseball camp before the season mm-hmm. started that you loved the guys on this team. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, as somebody who is not an Aggie, you know, I'm a Bulldog. And
yeah.
my goodness, I wanted the Bulldogs to make a run to Omaha.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got out in the regionals. And so in our house, what that meant is, okay, we're cheering for the Aggies now. We're going to cheer yeah. for the Aggies. We're going to cheer for Kentucky. You know, we're going to get behind our SEC people. The amount of leadership on that Aggie baseball team
yeah.
was an encouragement to me every time I watched them play. The way that they fought for each other, the way that a Caden Kent came in when Braden Montgomery got hurt,
yeah.
like the way that you knew they could count on one another,
yeah.
that's something that will ripple in their lives for the rest of their lives.
100%.
And so I'm like you, I am sickened mm-hmm. by the way the adults handled mm-hmm. themselves with this whole thing. And we will get into that later.
Yeah.
But those kids do not have a single reason to hang their heads. Like, I'd even thought about it in that last game, you know, when it was, I mean, Tennessee got up by a lot. And, you know, you could kind of see in the dugout, like, just the maybe a little concerns on the A&M players' faces. But I mean, even still, I remember watching Hayden Schott came up to bat, knowing that he's so hurt. And, like, here's what I knew, even though I've never met Hayden Schott in person, and even though I'm not an Aggie, like, he wanted that for those guys more than we'll ever know. And so I think, you know, looking back on our 2021 team, what my friends and I have talked about so much was that, sure, there's a coaching piece to that, no doubt. But, like, it was the leadership on that team 100%. And the relationships between those guys that made that team so special. Same for y'all.
I agree.
It's been watching those relationships, watching those guys, you know, when they play Funko golf in the you know, in the middle of the week at Olsen, when, you know, they're in the dugouts together. Like, it's just watching those guys has been the gift. And so all the other stuff is so unfortunate and certainly worth its own series of rants.
Yes.
But would never want to take away from what those guys have done this season.
No, it was absolutely incredible. And I think that the thing that they did that we didn't have last season, and I think is a rare, it's just a rare chemistry of a team that loved each other. And I think even being in Omaha and, you know, being around some of the parents and to see the way that the parents loved each other, like, it was just you could just tell, like, everybody was for each other. Like, everybody was in it. Like, everybody was cheering for each other. And I think about Hayden, we got so tickled. I think it was during Sunday's game because you could tell it was so hot. And listen, we were down. You're losing and it's intense game. Hayden's over there in his white plastic sunglasses like it's a day at the beach, kind of keeping everybody loose. Like, it was just the perfect. And I think even after the fallout of everything that's happened, like, the way these guys have rallied around each other and Texas A&M and just their team and what they created, that you're like, it ultimately had nothing to do with he who will not be named, is what I'm going to say. That if anything, he was a detriment. He was a cancer that we didn't know that we had, and good riddance to him is what I'm going to say. And we'll get into that more later. But I just want to say, I am so proud of this team. I'm so proud of all that they, and congrats to Tennessee. Listen,
absolutely.
Tennessee, what an amazing run. Y'all broke the record for most wins in a season. I mean, y'all had an incredible run. I'm so happy for y'all. I mean, y'all played great baseball and you did it. So congrats to Tennessee too.
Yeah. Fair and square. I mean, that's the whole thing. You've got three games, and so if you can win out in those three games, like, you have won that sucker fair and square. And so, you know, and that's so exciting for them. First national championship in baseball for them. So, absolutely. I do still object to the black jerseys. I would like a word about those. Yes. I think that's a really unfortunate choice with the orange on it. Mm-hmm. And how dare you in that heat, you know, like, how dare you for your players put them in those black jerseys. But that's beside the point. Yeah. You had a magical season. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, I was rooting for the Aggies, I so wanted to see y'all get it done. Like, because I know what that feels like as like legitimately a baseball school. Right.
Yeah.
And so, so, anyway, but it wasn't the year, but I do think to some degree, when you look at maybe what the expectations were at the beginning of the season, man, did the Aggies overachieve. I mean, good grief.
They did. And now we know that they were also fighting an enemy in their own dugout. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how about that? Yeah.
When Caroline moved off campus, we knew that she was going to need a mattress, and we got her a Helix mattress, and I will tell you, it is the best investment that we have made. She has told us so many times how it's even better than the mattress that she sleeps on at home, but I promise you, we paid three times as much for. It's just the right amount of support and comfort. It makes sure that she gets a great night's sleep, even when she doesn't go to bed till 2 a.m. because of that college life. Here's what's great about Helix. They offer 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. They have models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, plus enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night, which is huge if you live somewhere hot during the summer. And if your spine needs a little extra care, they've got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design that combines individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home, and that's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Right now, Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/bigboo. That's helixsleep.com/bigboo. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I'll say this, and then we'll move on.
Okay. For now. We're going to get back to it.
Oh, we're for sure getting back to it. You know, I'm a person, and I told you this yesterday. I am borderline obsessed with what good, healthy leadership looks like. Mm-hmm. And maybe part of that is because there were certainly times when I was younger when I did not take the responsibility of leadership to heart like I should, you know, because I didn't see myself as a leader. I didn't think of myself that way. I didn't consider how my actions might impact other people.
Yeah.
You know, you're young, you're selfish, all those things. But let me tell you something. When I think of a situation at this level of college sports, and I think that those kids have had to suffer and that they have been diminished and their achievements have been diminished by the actions of adults who should have known so much better.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that'll fire me up.
Yeah.
That to me is the part of this where, I mean, and I know we can second guess stuff and we can say, well, certain things are inexcusable, whatever. But like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Give these kids a minute.
Yeah.
Give them a minute
yep.
to sit in what they've achieved. Give them a minute to grieve with yep. one another.
Yeah.
So it feels super irresponsible. We'll come back to it. But yep. that's not leadership is what I wanted to say.
100% it's not. No, it's not. So let's talk about Ben Rector for a minute.
Okay.
Let's talk about happier things.
Okay. So this past Friday, we went to see Ben Rector and Cody Fry at the Atlanta Symphony with our friends, the Koonses, with Steph and Joey and Ella. We'd had tickets for so long, we had pretty much forgotten that we were going, you know, because I think we got tickets back in January when June seemed like a way distant point in the horizon.
Yes.
And so we drove over to Atlanta Friday afternoon, went to the Symphony Hall. We got there super early. Who's surprised? Like, the merch booth was open. The bars were open in the lobby, but nobody was there. So we hung out for a couple of hours before the show started. We had the best time. It was so fun. But here's what I've thought about since then, is that when you counter all the yuck that y'all have been through as Aggies over the course of the last few days, it's the Ben Rector, Cody Fry piece feels similar to me in a way it did when I saw Ben Rector here in Birmingham back in 2017, 2018, which is like when you see somebody do something really beautiful, like just the way it can lift your spirits.
Yep.
And once again, in Atlanta, we saw Ben Rector and Cody Fry do something really beautiful. Just the symphony, the quality of the sound, the experience, their leadership on that stage, their talent. Like, it was just phenomenal. We loved it so much. It was really fun to experience that with college age kids who have, you know, just a kind of a different perspective on life than they would have when we saw Ben Rector when they were in high school, you know? And it was fantastic. We loved it so much. And it was such a gift. We ended up driving back that night to Birmingham. You know, it's not far from here to Atlanta. It's a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And so we drove back. And then on Monday, I left, and my friend Casey and I had made plans also way back when to go see Aaron Tveit, who I'd seen on Broadway in Moulin Rouge. Casey saw him years ago in Next to Normal, and then she saw him in Rent. And so we've both kind of followed his career, but he was doing a one-man show at Cafe Carlyle. And so we'd had tickets to go to that. So we flew and to New York and stayed at the Wallace, which is, you know, my new favorite New York hotel.
Yes.
And just had a ball. We just had a ball.
I love
and,
it.
So we went to eat, and I'll talk about this for the rest of my life, but we went to eat Monday night at a restaurant called Chouquette, which is down in Chelsea, and our friend Jamie Golden had told me about it after she went there with Kendra Adachi earlier this year, and it was magical, start to finish. I had a cocktail, and I did my normal flush, you know, because I have a slight allergy. I've asked my doctor about it. My doctor says it's nothing, like, long-term harmful. Maybe I just need to take a Benadryl before I have a cocktail. But I had not had a Benadryl. Uh-huh. I turned very red after I sipped my cocktail and felt, again, like things were coming out of my head. It makes my hips hurt real bad.
Yes.
And when I flushed, somebody at the restaurant thought that I was really, really hot.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And so they noticed that I was beet red. And they brought me a big glass of ice, which was so kind.
That's so
And then
nice.
They brought us a complimentary dessert because they really felt like I was overheated. And I wasn't. I was like, oh, I just have an allergy. So it was lovely. And then we went to the thing at Cafe Carlyle Tuesday night. We saw Aaron Tveit. He was magical. The band that he had put together, also magical. It was a beautiful experience, start to finish. And then we flew home yesterday, and now I'm home. And trying to catch up on email. So
listen, I feel like June has been a whirlwind of
really
stuff.
It really has.
I mean, like I told Caroline yesterday, I said, it was just a week ago that we got home from the College World Series. Like,
no
what?
Joke.
Like, what has happened? I know, it's crazy.
Well, and even when I got home last night, Alex had texted me when I was at the airport, which, by the way, can I just say, you know, having flown in and out of New York for, as an adult, you know, we've done this big remodel at LaGuardia, and we've kind of watched that unfold over the last couple of years as we've flown in and out.
Yes.
And I will say they have transformed that place into what I believe is one of the better airports, certainly in America.
Okay.
But of really anywhere I've traveled, it's so light and airy and clean, and the way everything is arranged, like, it doesn't feel, you don't sit there and feel like you're waiting to be called, you know, back to your doom. Like, it's such a pleasant place to be. And so I even enjoyed that part of yesterday. But anyway, Alex texted me while I was there and said, so we watching The Bear tonight?
Oh.
But yeah, because all the episodes came out yesterday for season 3.
Yeah.
But by the time I got home and we all kind of visited and we ate supper, and then Alex was going to hang out with a friend for a little bit.
Yeah.
So all that to say, I haven't seen anything yet of The Bear.
Okay.
But it's on my list. It's way up there on my list. But, you know, I haven't seen it yet.
By now, y'all know how much that I love my AG1. I have told all of my friends to get on it. Gully's ordered it. I've got Caroline on it. Perry's taking it. Every time I have a conversation with any vet about health and supplements, what I say is that AG1 is the best thing that I've ever done. Here's what I love. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be simple. I love that AG1 is just one scoop mixed in water or a protein shake or a smoothie, whatever you want, once a day, every day. It's the perfect way to start my morning. It makes me feel energized, clear, ready to start my day. I gave it a try because I was taking all these different supplements and I was so tired of sorting out 75 different pills. And I love that now just one daily scoop of AG1 covers my nutrient gaps. It supports my mental and physical health. It helps my immune system. In just 60 seconds every morning, I give my body what it needs and I can tell I feel so much better. After drinking AG1, I have all this energy, and 97% of people in a research study felt more energy after 30 days of drinking AG1. Plus, gut support is such a key factor in immune support. Did you know that 70% of your immune system lives in your gut? In a research study, AG1 was shown to double the amount of healthy bacteria in your gut. Gut diversity is important in supporting the health of the gut. AG1 contains a wide range of vitamins, minerals, superfood sourced ingredients. I can tell a huge difference in my health. If there's one product that I trust to support my whole body health, it's AG1, and that's why we have partnered with them for so long. It's easy and satisfying to start your journey with AG1. You can try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/bigboo. That's drinkag1.com/bigboo. Listen, I've been too busy on the message boards. I haven't had a chance to, I mean, I have really taken this on as my full-time job currently.
As you
and
should.
So I even got a thing yesterday. I looked and I was like, I had 174 emails and 3 of them were for my publisher saying like, hey, here's the typeset of your book. Hey, you need to check this. Hey, here's your, and I was like, oh, I guess probably I do have another job besides looking at our coaching search and reading about all of the slimy things that our former coach did. Listen, I can't. It's where I'm living right now. It's where I'm living.
I get it. I get it. I would live in the same place. Mm-hmm. I did before I left for New York. I was kind of desperate for something to watch. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch this new Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader show on Netflix.
Yes. I've started it.
Well, let me just offer a few thoughts on that.
Yes, please.
One is, I mean, by the end of 2 episodes, I had downloaded episodes on my iPad so I could watch them on the plane. That's how into it I was.
Yeah.
This version of DCC feels a little bit more unfiltered to me.
Yep.
Like maybe they did not have as much control either of the content or the edit or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of putting the stuff out there in a way that feels like, hey, we're not going to tell you what to think, but just consider maybe what some of these people are saying. Just consider maybe how they feel pressured. Just consider it. Just and oh my goodness, I have enjoyed it. I have enjoyed it. Also, Netflix apparently paid to so that they could use the music. They ponied up for that because, you know, all the years it was on CMT, we could never hear the music they were actually dancing to.
Yes. It was always a different budget. It was a different budget.
It was more of a royalty-free version. They got them something off of Audio Jungle and plugged it in. But, you know, a royalty-free sitch. But on the Netflix version, they're using the actual music. So I had no idea that opening dance they did coming in where everybody's got to hit the yard line markers.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was Thunderstruck.
No.
But now how my life is enriched for the knowing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I've enjoyed that part of it. I find Kelly Fineglass fascinating in terms of her commitment to that organization and her commitment to that team and her longevity there.
Yeah.
And the way that, I mean, I think to stay with an organization in that kind of role, you have to really believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so even though I might not believe in some of what she's doing, you know, or I might not agree with some of their policies or whatever, I can still look at that and go, man, you know, like that's commitment right
for
there.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, and a real commitment to what their standards of excellence are. And so it's really interesting to watch that play out.
Yeah, I think I'm on the second episode and then I stopped and then Caroline and I decided to watch. We'd both been wanting to watch The Chosen because we had never watched it.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched it either.
Listen, we have really enjoyed it. Now we watched it together and now she's back in College Station, so we're just going to watch it in our separate homes. But it's really good. Like I have to say, it's really well done. And I felt like it would be because I feel like I've heard people that I really trust talk about how good it was.
Sure.
You know, but you just never know. But we really liked it. Like it's, I mean, and obviously it, I mean, it's got, it takes some
liberties with the Bible.
Thank you. God, my brain is, this is where I am. But it takes some liberties and I mean, it expands on storylines and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's really beautiful and I love their portrayal of Jesus. And so we watched that. It's felt like kind of a balm for my soul. I got real tickled because the first episode we watched, it's like, this isn't a spoiler, but you kind of wait. You don't see Jesus till the end. And Caroline was sitting on the other end of the couch. And when he came on, she was like, yes. And like, it was like we were cheering. And she was like, I just need to know that there's a character that I can actually cheer for who's not going to let me down. You know what I mean? Like she said, all these other shows you kind of watch and you're like, well, you appear to be a good guy, but I don't know if you're a legitimate good guy and what's going to happen here. But she was like, with Jesus, it feels like he's safe to cheer for.
And absolutely. I was
like, listen, after the week we've had, that's fair. You know, like who can you cheer for?
So that's right. The beauty of Jesus.
I thought that recycling was making a big difference until I learned this. 91% of plastic doesn't even get recycled. And that's why I try to reduce my single-use plastic consumption. And the easiest place to start is in the laundry room. You can do what I did and switch the laundry jug for Earth Breeze Eco Sheets. Earth Breeze makes a revolutionary liquidless laundry detergent that looks just like a dryer sheet and it gets your clothes clean. And trust me, we have dirty, dirty clothes at our house. Earth Breeze Eco Sheets were made to make life easier. They dissolve in any wash cycle, whether it's hot or cold. There's no measuring, there's no mess, there's no heavy plastic jugs. You just toss the sheet in. It is so easy. They offer flexible subscriptions that can be easily adjusted, paused, or canceled, no penalties. They've thought of everything. The packaging is a lightweight cardboard envelope, saving you space and avoiding the plastic jug. Here's the other thing I love. You can travel with them if you're going to an Airbnb or somewhere where you need to do your laundry. Their Eco Sheets are hypoallergenic. They're dermatologist tested. Most importantly, you'll still get a powerful clean. EarthBreeze is tough on stains. It fights odors. It gives you a clean you can feel good about. I love to find small ways that I can make a difference, and EarthBreeze has done that for me. It's simplified my laundry life at the same time. If you're not convinced, they offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't like it, you can get a full refund, no questions asked, and no return necessary. Trust me, there is no reason not to switch. Right now, our listeners can subscribe to EarthBreeze and save 40%. Go to earthbreeze.com/bigboo to get started. That's earthbreeze.com/bigboo for 40% off. earthbreeze.com/bigboo. So we did that, and then I'm trying to think what else we've been watching. Well, I watched that. I finally finished my Era of Fire book, so I'm now ready for the fourth Throne of Glass book. But I told Caroline, I was like, listen, I got to take a break from the fairies. I need to read about just a beach read about some people falling in love in the Hamptons or something like that. And then now that the bear's out, I feel like I'm going to have to, I mean, I'll binge that. That bear is going to take precedent over everything because I need to see how Carmi's doing. I've been worried sick about him.
Well, he was in the cooler. Why wouldn't we be worried sick about him? Yeah, and one of my favorite real-life crossovers, Will Gadara, who wrote Unreasonable Hospitality, which, of course, we loved, he announced last week, I think, on Instagram that he has been one of the producers of The Bear for season 3.
Yes.
Which feels just right because, you know, Richie was reading Unreasonable Hospitality
The
Forks episode. So anyway, Will Gadara posted today on his Instagram, I think it was today, just some behind the scenes pictures. And one of the things he said in his post was just what a joy it was to watch that group of people together because they were so clearly a team and had so clearly cultivated an environment where people root for other people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that that was something I needed to hear. You know,
okay, I love that.
I'm so tired of situations where what we're lifting up is unhealthy.
Yes.
I'm so tired of situations where what is unhealthy is getting the most attention.
Yes.
And so just to see Will Gadara say like, hey, this is good. Like this is legit. It just encourages my heart a little bit. So
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm super excited to watch because that is some masterful storytelling. I mentioned to Casey yesterday because, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, Melanie, but I'm not particularly musical.
No, I had no, no idea.
I took piano for a lot of years, so I can kind of play the piano. And I you know, my parents always loved music and always played music in the house. And I think that's probably where I get my love of music.
Mm-hmm.
But I told Casey, I said, you know, because Casey is a phenomenal, she's a show choir teacher. She's a show choir leader. She's, her husband Joel is like legit professional level pianist, you know, like they're just crazy musically gifted. And I said, I don't know why when I sit in a room like we did at Cafe Carlisle the other night, why it's so moving to me. I said, but I think some of it has to do with the fact that it's storytelling. It's just a different kind of storytelling. And it pulls me in when people can do that with a lot of integrity and compassion and excellence. Like, all that stuff really draws me in. And I love music.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think to see Ben Rector and Cody Fry do that with the symphony, to see Aaron Tveit do that with his ensemble in that tiny little room, to see a show like The Bear, like, I think these are the things that in order to stay in a good place sometimes when for whatever reason we're living at a point in history where sometimes the nastiest voices get magnified the loudest, I think we get to focus on the stuff that's beautiful. And so here's to The Bear and for, like, giving us something beautiful to focus on.
Yes.
Or The Chosen or whatever.
Yes.
Because, unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that gets held in front of us as leadership is just a hot pile of garbage and inevitably disappoints us, just like what y'all have been through this week. And so
that's what I'm saying.
So here's to what's beautiful, right?
Yes, yes. Here is to what's beautiful. And I'm so glad that it's out there because, listen, there are moments where you're like, I've lost my faith in humanity. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It'll get to you. It really will. It really will. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the thing of, like, just to see something that has been so beautiful, like this Aggie baseball season, and to see something that had been so beautiful and felt so pure and was like everything that I love about sports. Like, it was everything. And when it's your team, it feels even more magical. And, like, and here's what I want to say, and we're going to talk about this more on Patreon later, but here are a couple things, like, because a couple of people were like, well, how is this different? Like, coaches leave all the time, and coaches lie about leaving all the time. It's part.
Oh, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Yeah.
Now, is it right? I don't know, but I get it. Where it's become a coach thing, where it's like, I love this school. I'm never going to leave this school. This is whatever, you know, whatever. And so, to me, it's Schloss lying about it at the press conference. It's I'm so glad that Richard Zane asked that question, and that night he got some heat for asking that question. But that's, y'all, that's reporting, that's journalism. And the thing and what Billy Leach and Tex Aggs has now said, they knew, they were hearing all the buzz. So they knew,
which is why he said that question was selfish, because he knew they knew. And so he had to call him out.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is your story. Go.
Yeah. Okay. But 100%. I mean, they knew that. I mean, they were starting to hear more and more buzz that this was happening. And so you think they knew that they needed to ask the question, because Schloss was 30 seconds away from getting to slither off that platform and out of College Station. And he got called out on it. And it's interesting because one of my friends, former baseball player, messaged me and he was like, what are you hearing? Listen, y'all want to know the real story or the DMs that I've gotten over the last couple of days. You don't even know the things that I have heard and the rumors that are out there about some different things. But what I'm saying is, he said, what are you hearing? And I was so stunned, because I thought when he gave that answer, this tells you where my brain is, because I think I always believe the good in people. And I think I always look for the good. And when he gave that answer, I was like, oh, he's mad because he's mad that the team just lost. He's upset for the boys. He got defensive, and that's why he answered that way. And my friend responded and said, oh, I knew when I heard that answer, he was gone, because that's how a narcissist responds when they're cornered.
Oh, and listen.
Listen,
I mean, like, as my mama would say, hit dog always hollers.
That's it. That's it. And then the thing that we found out after is, not only then did he gaslight Richard Zane, the young reporter who asked that question, who was told to ask that question, that when he walked down off the podium, what everybody didn't see is he went to him and got in his face and said, I'll never talk to you again.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I am so tired. This is where I'll get emotional. I am so tired of situations where people, in the interest of accountability, are asking people legitimate questions and cannot get a straight answer because somebody's desire to manage a narrative is stronger than their desire to be a person of integrity.
Yeah, that's it. Since summer is here, it feels like we're all traveling more. And I know that years ago, Perry and I were about to leave on a trip and we realized that we needed to update our will and we needed to make some plans because you don't want to think about that, but it is a necessary thing to do. Here is the thing. If you find yourself in that situation, I want to tell you today about Trust and Will. They have an incredibly user-friendly website. You can print out your final product, you can take it to a notary, and you can leave on your trip knowing that your affairs are in order, that they are updated and clear. You can have estate planning. That's not something you want to leave to chance, and Trust and Will will help you get necessary business handled in an efficient, easy-to-understand way. Each will or trust is crafted to be state-specific and customized to your specific needs. For example, you can designate care wishes, you can nominate guardians, as well as share your wishes for final arrangements and power of attorney. Trust and Will secures your information with bank-level encryption. They have live customer support available through phone, chat, and email. And more than anything, Trust and Will is a name you can trust in online estate planning. They've earned an overall rating of excellent with thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hundreds of thousands of families and counting have used their expertise for estate planning. This is a great resource if you find yourself in need of it. You can secure your assets and protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com/bigboo. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/bigboo. And so I feel like what the Aggies are going through, what we're doing, and, you know, if you've dated it for any amount of time, maybe you've had a breakup with a toxic narcissist.
Sure.
You know, sure. And I feel like that's what we're dealing with, where everybody's like, but he said he loved us, but he said.
I know. And don't you feel like, I feel like this is a bulldog. I'm not an Aggie who was super invested in Coach Schloss as a, an Aggie entity. But I always want to believe that people are good guys.
That's
now,
it.
The good thing is now, you know, not so much.
No.
But like when you want to believe somebody's a good guy and then they show you who they are.
Yep.
Like that's a, and who they are is not at all who you hoped.
Yep.
That is so hurtful. It is so hurtful for those players. Listen, I'll say it all day long. Those players deserved a minute.
Yeah.
But I'll also say this. A narcissist can't let anybody have a minute.
Nope.
They can't let anybody have a minute.
Because all he was cared about was his own agenda. Here are the things that I now know. I know that he sold his home in College Station in November of 23. So his house was sold. He no longer owned property in Bryan, Texas, is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say that
what?
All reliable.
What?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because I know this because somebody said that they looked up where his property was because they wanted to go egg his house and found out that it had been sold in November of 23. He didn't own property. All reliable scouts, people in the know, said this all started to happen during the Georgia series.
I saw that. I did see that, which is insane.
Uh-huh. And so here's my problem, too, is that you're still doubling down and lying and acting like this was just a decision you made after that game was over Monday night. That's a lie. That's a total lie.
And I know what you were about to say. And I want to say, if you need to say it, you go ahead and say it. Mama, just go ahead and cover little Billy's ears right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Melanie needs to say some things.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to say, so it's the fact that he gaslit our reporter. It's that he kept making up lies. It's that he didn't have our program's best interest and those boys' best interest at a time that they were playing for a national championship. Like his distraction, his coaching staff, which by the way, he took all of them with him. They all left.
Which to me, like I think is a piece of this that still blows my mind. Like, you're not just going to leave. You got to take the whole group with you.
Yep. Yep.
Now,
yep.
And listen, we're not going to get into the University of Texas piece of this thing until we get on Patreon. Mm-hmm. But I have some thoughts about that, too. No offense to our Longhorn listeners. But listen, if it's shady, is shady.
That's so. It. And people show you who they are, believe them. That's what I'm going to say. Because the fact that, and we're going to get more into this, the fact that Del Conte, your AD, was calculating enough that he took a picture and put it on Twitter of the Snook Cemetery where he met our coach right after we got back to close this deal. Like, shady. The fact that it came out that you fired your coach the day that we're playing for a national championship.
That I think is, that to me is... Listen,
And but, it creates okay, well, this, I know, and it creates this huge distraction. I just feel bad for those guys because I'm going to say Monday night, looking back, our guys looked flat to me. Like they,
I agree. They looked sad. They looked dejected. They like all the fire that you had seen out of them all season. It was like somebody had let the air out of that dugout.
Yep, it was. And what I am hearing, and I don't know this, and I think a lot of stuff is going to continue to come out. What I'm hearing is that he had told a select group of players before that game that he was hoping to poach and take with him that he was leaving. And so those some of those boys knew. And I'm going to say that he was very select because who he chose to tell were kind of our starting lineup. And I'm just going to say, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm hearing that from a lot of different sources, and I think that it showed. And so if I'm a parent and I've watched this coach for his own gain do this to these kids and rob them of a national championship, I get that coaches leave all the time. I get that they lie about leaving. I get that they say, but to do that while doing a national championship run, that's part of the reason with Aggie football that like DeBeer in it from Washington was like, basically we couldn't even interview him because he was like, I'm making a national championship run. And so, you know, yes, he eventually left for Alabama, but he didn't do that at the expense of what he was playing for in that moment. And when you start hearing things about burner phones, looking for recruits, I'm just saying, NCAA, this is your time to step up and do your job. And you won't because you're going to protect Texas because that's what always happens. But this is shady. And to me, it is a warning shot to every team in the SEC that this is who you've just let in. So,
well, and I have thoughts about that, too. Mm-hmm. I have thoughts about the fact that but again, we'll save it for Patreon. I don't like it. I don't like what appears to me to be a very deliberate strategy in terms of how and when this information was released. I don't enjoy that. That doesn't say to me that somebody wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. It doesn't communicate that to me at all.
100%. And here's what I'll say. Knowing everything that I know now and seeing like Travis Chestnut, who is one of our outfielders and one of our starting players, he came out in an article yesterday, said, I'm blown away by the disrespect of Schloss. Not once in my career was he a respectable man to me. I stuck with him because I wanted to be an Aggie. I wanted to play in the SEC. But quite frankly, I didn't stick to him. I stuck to assistant coaches early in Kane. And I'm like, that is so telling because that's not a kid who's not playing. That's a kid who's in your lineup. That's also a kid that I'm going to say that Schloss threw under the bus on national television during that final game when he said he always strikes out anyway. That's why I called for the bunt. And I'm going to tell you that Ryan Targotch, our 12th man, came out today and said, I'm the one that called for the bunt. So Schloss continues to lie on multiple levels. He's a snake in the grass. I'm glad he's gone. Listen, Texas, you've gotten he's a great coach. He's a good baseball coach. He's had success everywhere he goes. I have a whole theory that it's more about who he surrounds himself with than his actual abilities. But the Aggies will be fine. And I know right now everybody, and I do want to say this, and Braden Montgomery's mom has been a gift on Twitter because she's given a lot of information and she is mad. And you think that's just, she has a son who played for Schloss who ended up getting injured playing for that team, but he's gone. He's going into the draft. Braden is gone. She's not even invested as a current player parent at this point.
Right.
But one of the things she said that I think we have to know, I know a lot of these guys have entered the transfer portal and I don't fault the kids for that at all because
they have to.
They have to. Yeah,
they have to protect themselves. Yep. Like they don't have a coach right now. Like you know. But I do think some of them will be back. I really do.
I do too.
Lynch will name a coach. I think some of them are going to come back. I think some of those kids are actual loyal Aggies.
I agree.
Is part of my issue a little bit. Well, maybe a big part of my issue with some of this transfer portal NIL stuff. I think loyalty is important.
Yeah.
Not to toxic systems, though. And so if that was a bad environment for them, they should absolutely go.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be loyal to something that's unhealthy for you.
Yeah.
But I do think some of those kids want to do something great.
I agree.
In particular for Texas A&M.
I agree. And I think that they'll be back. And so I think for people who don't maybe, you know, who are listening, because I know a lot of y'all aren't sports fans and you certainly don't follow it to the level of obsessiveness that Sophie and I maybe do. But the transfer portal, because I had a friend text yesterday and she was like, why is everybody leaving? And I was like, they're not leaving. I said, but there's a deadline. And they right now, they don't know who their coach. And you hate that college has the whole mercenary aspect to it that it does now. But just with NIL and the transfer portal, it just does. And I mean, you don't know that a new coach is going to come in and say, I've got my own whatever, and they're going to transfer in, and everybody's got to protect themselves a little bit. And I get that. I mean, even when Caroline 100%. Just played club soccer, I mean, if you didn't know who their coach was going to be next year, you're like, that kind of changes everything. Now, I do think a lot of them will come back. Listen, and we've had some kids that have stepped up. Josh Stewart, one of our pitchers.
Josh Stewart. I'm going to tell you what. Josh Stewart came in hot
on he
Twitter,
did.
And I appreciated it.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, and listen, and he said, I'm staying. You've had Shane Sadeo has said, I'm staying, who's our pitcher from Montgomery. I mean, really, our pitching staff, by and large, which I think is so interesting, has all said, like, no, we're staying. We're Aggies. This is who we are. We're here for the 12th man. And I'm going to tell you, that is going to pay off for them, because the loyalty that Aggies will have to those guys for the rest of their lives, for saying I'm staying, like, this is my school and I'm staying, like, there's those guys will be able to do anything they want to do within the Texas A&M system, whatever. I look at a guy like Jason Hutchins, who's one of our development coaches, who has been with A&M baseball for 26 years. He played while I was there. He's there, and listen, he woke up the next morning and guess what he's doing? He's running baseball camps for all these kids that had signed up for these baseball camps. And you look at the loyalty of those guys, and like that makes me want to cry. Like, the honor and loyalty of those guys is just amazing. A Jackson Appel saying, I was so honored to play my last year and or to spend my last year in Aggie land. I mean, and we'll see what happens with the portal. I think we're going to make a coaching hire here in the next couple of days. I think A&M's going to be fine. I mean, the thing, and I do want to say this, anything you hear too about it was about the money. No, it wasn't, because they had a $3 million contract waiting on Schloss. We were going to double what he was getting paid, and he was getting an $80 million stadium renovation. So it wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. So the end.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation on Patreon. So there's that. We also have a live Q&A tonight on Patreon. We know there's a presidential debate. I got very tickled when I realized that we had scheduled our live Q&A for the night of the president. Listen, I still have PTSD from that last one that we had to witness 4 years ago. So I'd much rather sit in a Q&A with you than try to remain calm during a presidential debate. So
no, I wasn't gonna watch that either. You know if I wanted to watch that, I'd go to the nearest old folks home, just sit and watch a couple people argue. I mean, like, what's the difference?
So we're gonna talk about this still. I really want to get into the SEC piece of all of this.
Yeah.
And Texas coming into the SEC. And maybe that's because I am an SEC loyalist. You know, State was one of the original SEC schools. And I do think that there is an expectation of conduct when you come into an established organization that has, by and large, been really healthy. Anyway.
And I'm going to tell you this. I've said it before. Gully said it yesterday when I was talking to her on the phone. They're coming for your cowbells. Don't think they aren't. They're coming for your cowbells. Mark 100%. My words. They will 100%. Be a pox. They are going to be a pox on this conference. That's what I'm saying. Now, is it time for five favorites?
It's time for five favorites, and man, what a lighthearted time we've had. Let me just, maybe this is an appropriate first favorite. I didn't plan it this way, but the first favorite is a knife. I really didn't plan it.
Would you stab someone in the back with this knife?
It would work for that, yes. If you needed it too, it'd be very effective. But I realized when I was reorganizing the kitchen, I love my knives for chopping and dicing, all that kind of stuff. But I was like, I need a serrated knife, like a really good serrated knife for stuff like tomatoes, bread, that kind of stuff. And I just ordered this one off of Amazon because it had good reviews. And I was like, it feels like a good entry point. Like, it's not a high stakes knife. It's just, you know, it's fantastic. It's a Cutlex serrated utility knife. It's not super big. It's like, I don't know, I'm not good with measurements, but it's a nice size. It's perfect for a tomato, so it doesn't like crush it as you slice it. I've enjoyed it, and so I just wanted to pass that along should anybody have the need for one.
Okay.
The second thing this week, my friend Casey told me about this. Well, she told me about a different version of this, and then I ran across this one. But a lot of times this time of year, I'm not as vigilant with sunscreen on my lips as I should be. I just don't, you know, like I get my sunscreen on and then I put on whatever lipstick or whatever I wear. And so I was like, I need something that's a little bit better in terms of sun protection. And I ordered this Super Goop lip shade. It's a lipstick. It's got a tint to it. I got the rose. What I love about it is it has a little peppermint to it. So it has a little tingle, you know, like it feels like a good lip balm when you put it on. I really like it. It's not like a super long lasting, you know, lipstick, but it's a great option when you really want to make sure your lips are protected, but you also want some color. Because a lot of times, you know, if you, by the time you layer up everything that you need to get the color, you feel like you've got 19 layers on your lips.
Yeah.
And so I like that this is just like a one-stop shop for a little color, some sun protection, a little hydration. It's really good. Oh, my third. Listen, every once in a while, and I know that one of my low-level goals for 2024 was that I wasn't going to buy any more dresses.
You have failed. I'm going to just say you have failed.
I have failed. But every once in a while, you meet a dress that's a little bit like the dress of your heart. It's just all the things that you love in one dress. And for me, that is this Corylan Coulter silk shirt dress that I ordered from Anthropologie. Let me just tell you a few things that I love about it. And again, this is just like my personal criteria for a good dress. I love a collar. I'm somebody, my mama always told me this and I never really understood what she meant, but I'm somebody, I need a collar. Maybe it's because my head is enormous, but like I need something to balance out the size of my head. But it has a collar. It's a very thin, silky material, so it's not heavy. It just kind of touches you on your shoulders and then it just flows. But it's also what feels like for me a really age appropriate length.
Yeah, okay.
Because sometimes, you know, I'll put on stuff and it'll be shorter and I'll be like, I don't care. But when you're wearing something dressy and you're going to have on tall shoes, I don't necessarily want to sit down and worry about what my dress is doing. This is a perfect length right above the knees for that. It's flowy on the sides. It's just easy. It's a little oversized. Like you might even want to size down if you order it. But it is so comfortable. Because it doesn't touch you anywhere, you don't have to do anything tricky in terms of your undergarments, you know? Like, it's just, it's a breeze. It's just a breeze. And so, I love it. And to the point that I've thought about ordering it in another pattern, and then I'm like, I don't need two thin silk dresses with a handkerchief hemline.
Yes.
But I really love it.
It's really pretty.
Yeah, it's so pretty. But it's also, I wore it in New York with some platform sandals. I would also wear it with a pair of slides, you know, or I would throw it on with some Birkenstocks if I was doing something more casual.
Yeah.
I would wear it open with a pair of white jeans and like a tank underneath or something. So it's versatile, you know, and I really love it. Here's our Catherine Kubelik pants option for the week. And I've tried to steer away from pants because I know I have a tendency to do that.
Yes.
But I love these. They're the Naomi High Rise Flares from Anthropologie, but it's a pattern stripe edition. And the patterns are little like shells.
These are cute.
They're the cutest. And they fit. I've had flares where I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to have to go get these hemmed or I have to wear wedges? With these, I can wear like just regular old sandals. You know, like it doesn't require a tricky shoe. So I like that the length is a little shorter for summer because it just to put on a pair of slides feels just right. These are so cute with a denim shirt. Or just any of your favorite button-up shirts. They're easy to wear. They run true to size. They're my favorite white pant option this summer. I really love them. So they're good. I
love that. They're real
They're
cute.
Also not see-through, which I feel like is an important white pair of pants quality.
Yes.
And then my last thing, I saw this on Amazon maybe a week and a half ago. I mean, there's just nothing more important at this stage in my life than having access to a quality mirror in good lighting, right? Like, no, it's just, it's essential.
100%. Yes, it's key.
I mean, it's so key. And when I was thinking about traveling this summer, and you don't know sometimes in hotels what you're getting into. Will they have a magnifying mirror? Will they not? Will the lighting in the bathroom be enough? Will it not? So I ordered this fancy, and I appreciate that the brand is fancy, LED rechargeable portable makeup mirror. It is the thinnest thing. It would fit, like, you could pack your suitcase full and just set this thing on top and it would be totally fine.
Okay.
When you unfold it, it makes a little stand. And because I like a mirror that you can set on top of a desk or a countertop or whatever, where I can keep the mirror stationary and I'm not responsible for holding it, you know? You can adjust your lighting on this. You can make it brighter, less bright. It has a smaller, like, really up close magnifying mirror that you attach to the front of the mirror. And I just think it is a great option for, especially when you travel, to be able, it just gives you some mirror continuity in your life.
That's good.
Some lighting continuity in your life. Mm-hmm. And because it's rechargeable, like, it just has the same little cord that actually works on the fan that we love.
Yeah.
It's just a good little travel essential, I think. So I'm a fan.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to order this because I feel like I, when I made it to Omaha, I realized that I had forgotten my magnifying mirror and they didn't have one at the Magnolia Hotel. And I'm going to say it was real unfortunate. So to anybody who saw me in Omaha, if I had questionable eye makeup, just know I was doing the best I could. If my eyebrows were a little too dark, I was doing the best I can. I can hardly see.
Listen, the eyebrow situation, if you don't have a good mirror or good lighting for the eyebrow situation at this age, do you remember on the Carol Burnett show when she would play Nora Desmond?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's
the silent film actress. Uh-huh. And her eyebrows were about 42 shades too dark. I mean, that's what we get into, right? Like, we get real heavy-handed with our brow pencil. So, I think that probably if you are 40 and up, you might want to give this one a look.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really an investment.
I'm just going to say that my great aunt Fina had an eyebrow situation going on for many years that now I realize was probably due to the fact that she didn't know about magnifying mirrors. You know, right. She didn't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So
her vision was declining.
She didn't know. You know, she never went to a doctor her entire life. So nobody ever said, like, hey, you can't see. And those eyebrows, I just thought that was the way old people did their eyebrows. But turns out, no, she just couldn't see. And for $35.99, she would have really benefited from this mirror. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, the stationary part is a real advantage. So that it can, and I'm a thumbs up on that. So, all right. So we're going to wrap up this episode. I'm going to edit it super fast.
Yep.
And then we're going to continue our conversation on Patreon that I will also try to edit super fast so y'all can hear our more unfiltered thoughts.
Yes.
On this unfortunate situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, everybody stay tuned for that. I will continue to save the rest of the receipts that I have for that episode.
Okay. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, everybody.